Appreciate the good songs, good spirit we feel here this morning. And I've been preaching some on out of the book of Acts chapter 28. And actually Acts chapter 27. And I'm looking at Acts chapter 28 here this morning. And I've been preaching. I don't really like to call it series of sermons, but sometimes I can't get it all out in one setting. So the mind can only withstand what the backside can handle. So I'm not a long-winded preacher generally. And what I say, I hope you'll take with you. And you know, I've seen preachers that preach too long, and by the time they get through, you've got about the first point or two, and the rest of it, you'd have no idea what they said. And so at that point, we're just wasting time, and your time is precious to me. And I appreciate you coming and being willing to sit and listen and worshiping God with me for the period of time that you've given me, and I'll try not to abuse that. But I've been preaching, and I preached out of this about the shipwreck and about why we're going to make it. And, you know, God's purpose always prevails when we give Him total control of our lives. And then I preached a sermon out of it. How are we going to make it? We're going to make it by trusting Him even when the ship falls apart. You remember the ship wrecked, and some made it to shore on broken pieces. But broken pieces still float. I may just come in on just a broken board, but I'm going to make it. Sometimes life throws us curveballs. Sometimes it don't go according to what we have planned, but I have God's assurance that we're going to make it. He told the Apostle Paul that there's not going to be one soul that is going to be lost. I'm here to tell you, we're going to make it. But then the question arose in my mind, when are we going to make it? It's the question that every weary traveler asks in the middle of the journey. I can remember just at the young age of 4 years old, Dad decided we was going to go on a vacation of a lifetime. We traveled, we got in that old wood panel station wagon. Y'all remember them? We left from Robin Hill, Oklahoma. That's down just outside of Norman. We left from there and we was going to Wyoming to see the old faithful. Go ahead, and just every little bit, I can remember asking Dad, are we there yet? Has anybody ever asked that question, are we there yet? Dad obliged me for the first five or six times, and then Dad just went silent. But in life's journey, sometimes we wonder, when are we going to make it? Well, he tells us here in Acts chapter 28 and verse number 11. I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter. I'm going to start at verse 11. I'm going to read a few verses here. He said, and after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. We are going to make it, point number one, when the season changes. The storm was already over. But he had to wait on the island of Melita for the timing to be right, for the wind to begin to blow out of the right direction. I'm preaching and y'all don't even know it. Sometimes we have to wait on the moving of the Holy Spirit. We are in a season of our life, and it seems like we're at a standstill. We're waiting. When are we finally going to get there? When are we going to arrive? When the season changes. There'll be a time when the season changes. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hold on. Brother Tridd just sung that song a while ago. Just hold on. If we can just hold on a little bit longer, don't get weary in the journey, but hang on. Ecclesiastes tells us chapter 3 and verse 1, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Sometimes a season may delay us, but we're going to make it. For 3 months, he had to stay on the island of Melita. He had to be patient. He had to wait. His heart's desire was to go to Rome, but God said, not yet. There are different seasons. Sometimes we go through seasons of suffering. That's where God gets us to where God wants us to be. How many of you can say that I liked it whenever I was going through it? But when we get through it, we can look back and say, God, I am stronger because I went through the season of suffering. I am stronger spiritually now than what I've ever been. Sure, my wings have been clipped. I have been grounded. I have been put down. I have been lied upon. I have been spit at. I've been mocked at. I've been talked about. Sure, all those things have happened, but I'll tell you what, I come out on the other side better. Stronger because I have learned to lean on Him. In my time of blindness, when I lost my eyesight for 12 days straight and could not see a thing, I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. But Brother Tim, I come out on the other side stronger. I come out with greater faith and greater strength. I'm serving a God that can do anything. Whenever they tell me that I don't know if you'll ever be able to see again, and I have to turn my face to the wall and say, God, I'm going to preach your gospel if I have to do it blind. When I go to the eye doctor and they say that you're going to have permanent scarring, and I go back a month later to an eye doctor that has no idea what has happened, and she said, there is absolutely no scarring in either eye. I've got 20/20 vision. I know it's God. I may have went through a trial. I may have went through suffering, but I'll tell you what, I have come out stronger because of it. I serve a God that can do all things. You'll learn to trust Him more than you've ever trusted Him before in your life. I thought about the season. This one's not very easy. The season of sin. Sister Mandy, I hope you don't mind me picking on you. But there was a time that I could not have asked her to come up and sing. You may get weary. And I was hoping she'd give just a little bit of her testimony this morning. But I'm so proud of this girl. You don't know what she has been through. Sister Mandy, that song fits you. The devil's a liar. You went through a season of sin in your life. And God says, not yet. Sometimes we go through seasons of sin and God says there has to be a proving period, a proving time in your life before I can use you again. It's not that you're not saved. It's not that you're not on your way to heaven. It's not that you have not made things right, but not yet. I'm waiting to see what God's going to do with this young man. Brother Virgil, I've heard you testify time and again that God told you to wait. You walked afar in a season of sin. You enjoyed the pleasures for a season. But now there's a season of waiting. I fully believe and trust that God has a mighty work that He's going to do. God's not finished with you yet, Brother Virgil. He wouldn't doubt me a bit if you don't get called to the evangelistic field, that you're a great evangelist somewhere or hold a church and pastor a church. God's got something in store for you, but it's a season of waiting. I see sometimes we go through seasons of selfishness. Sometimes I get tired of waiting. God, I want it, and I want it right now. Sometimes we do things out of emotionalism. Our emotions get the best of us. I've got to have that brand new house. But the Spirit begins to check you. But Lord, I'm going to buy it anyway. Be careful. Lord, I want that new car. You buy it, you'll have nothing but problems. A season of selfishness. Sometimes we need to wait for what God wants. We need to put it in God's timing. He may have something better for you. But we get ahead of God and say, God, I want it right now. The seasons changes. And then we see when the sails catch the wind. Look in verse number 12 and 13 with me. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass, and it came to Rejaim. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And we came the next day to Potali. Never make a move unless the wind is blowing. The Holy Spirit is working for you. I've tried to sail against the wind. I've tried to paddle upstream. It doesn't work. He will lead you and He will guide you. The Bible says He'll teach you in all things. You better be praying about it. God's wind moves on us one step at a time. John tells us in chapter 3 and verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, you'll know. You don't have to ask your pastor. You don't have to ask some therapist or some counselor. The Holy Spirit, He'll lead you and He'll guide you. When it's time to go, Brother Virgil, you'll know the time. Sister Mandy, when you know it is time that God has called you out, you'll know when it is. When the season changes, and when the sail catches wind. We will make it when we see the saints surrounding us. In verse number 14, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard us and they came to meet us as far as Apiforum, and there and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. We'll know when we make it, when we get to that eastern gate, that I have made it. Did you notice that? There was people there that was waiting. The brethren was waiting on him whenever he got to the shore. There was brethren that was with him on his journey. When we are surrounded by brethren, we know we're going to make it. We may not know exactly when we're going to get there, but we know we're going to make it. Even on this side of heaven, God will send believers to let us know that we're not traveling alone. Have you ever been going through a trial and God sends the right person at the right time? Maybe a phone call, maybe a card, maybe somebody just stopping by and saying, "Hey, you've been on my mind. I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. How are you doing? Are there anything that you need? Anything that we can do?" We get weary on the journey. God will always send someone, the brethren, to encourage us. Not only will we, when the season changes, and when the sail catches wind, we'll make it when we see the saints surrounding us, but we'll make it when the Savior finishes His plan for us. In verse number 31, I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter, I'm going to go to 31. He said, "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence and no man forbidding." Paul makes it to Rome. He was still in chains. He was still in bonds. His journey did not end in comfort, but he had to rely on his calling. In verse 31, it ends with an amazing truth. His purpose was not just to get to Rome, but his purpose was to also to get the gospel to the entire world. He made it when his purpose was fulfilled. Dad would always tell me as we was driving, he'd say, "Son, we're going to get there when we get there. And when we get there, you'll know it." John the Revelator tried to describe it. There have been songwriters that have wrote songs about it. But I know this. When I get there, I'll know it. What do we do until then? We keep on sailing. We keep on serving. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us, "But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I can hear Jesus saying, you'll know when we get there. When I see those pearly gates and I see my Savior standing there, the one who died for me, I will know that my journey is completed. My work is over. My work on earth is done. And he says, child, enter in. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll know I have made it.